Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for Prelim Final Week 2022. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been given the honour of organising the Queen's funeral. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Time. It's a very sombre time as we are in mourning. We do have a national public holiday for the event on Thursday to really, really mourn, like properly have a day off and probably go shopping, but in a with respectful shopping. You
respectful.
Know, the black armbands are on.
Yeah.
When you're buying... when you're buying an iPad at JB, you'll be thinking, oh, I wonder if Her Majesty would have loved an iPad. You know, just those just those little moments that make you bond with someone that, you know, we've loved so dearly. And it has taken us all by surprise. Like, let's not forget, at the start of the year, Mick Malthouse said she'd live to 200. And it's just, it's a shock. It's a shock that he got it so wrong. Because he's usually better than that. But... amazingly, they came to me and they said, Rosie, we know you're good with events. We've seen the Junk Time live shows. We know what you're all about. Can you help us out with the funeral? Because it's such a big thing. And, it's a, you know, people have been queuing out for 35 hours to see the coffin.
Well, I saw a thing today that said it could possibly be the most viewed event on TV in history.
Yeah, well, I imagine what would be bigger, do you think? It would be like... it would have to be either something American or something English that would have happened in our lifetime when TVs were so accessible. And also now with streaming, you would imagine there'd be more eyes on it than ever before.
Yeah, only thing I kind of think of that could match it is possibly the final episode of Big Bang Theory. But I'm not totally sure if I'm right about that.
Yeah, yeah. Or 9/11, both as tragic as each other. Like, I think when they put a lot of the fake laughter over the 9/11 vision, it was just like, oh, okay, this doesn't make it funny. I don't know how they get away with it in the Big Bang Theory.
So what are your some ideas? Like, what are your big plans? Obviously, it's a big job. You got to do it properly. What kind of stuff have you
got? Yeah, well, clearly because, you know, he's in demand and he knows how to perform at these events. Mike Brady will be performing at the funeral. Yeah, he's going to be performing God Save the Queen, the Sex Pistols version, which people won't see coming.
Yep, good. Keep people on their
toes. It's a bit of fun. Bongo cam. I don't think we've ever had bongo cam at a funeral before, but I think it's going to be a little bit of fun and just bring a little bit of levity to the occasion.
Because
a long and boring event. There's going to be a halftime sprint.
Up, yeah. Oh, really? Halftime sprint down the aisle.
Yep. Yeah, with the corgis.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
So they're going to have like corgi races. The altar boys and girls will be the NAB little legends, you know. So you got your little Dusty up there with his little fake neck tacks and stuff, you know, bringing out the, what do you got, your little fucking smoke things that they do or whatever the fuck those little kids do.
Yep, sure.
The communion wine is going to be mid-strength. I don't want people getting too, I don't want people getting too rowdy. I don't want people getting too off chops because it's going to be a long event. You just got to cut them back.
Yeah, and a limit of four.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not crazy. You've got to save people from themselves sometimes, Michael. When they bring the coffin in, she's going to go through a banner, which is going to be fun. A lot of fun there. And there's been a little bit of a competition. I don't want to give away what's on the banner, but there's been a competition to rhyme Queen. So it's going to be great as they go through that.
You know what I actually hope? I hope doesn't happen. It'd be a tragedy. As she goes, before she goes through the banner, if the draft in Westminster Abbey like destroys the banner before she goes through,
that would
be
that is
the worst possible scenario that could possibly happen.
Yeah, when they go to show both sides, and you know, there's like a fucking an ad for you know, Barclay Ham on the other side that they need, because you got to sponsor these events. They don't pay for themselves.
Yeah, they're not cheap, mate.
That's not gonna be great. No, they're not. Also, as a little bit of a turn of events, and just to kind of brighten the mood, Catman is going to be doing the eulogy.
Really?
Oh yeah, and he's got some fucking things to say about colonialism. I think people are going to enjoy it.
I think he'd be quite pro. I get the feeling he'd be quite pro.
Yeah, he's very into colonialism. And finally, now they've been talking about that she's going to be buried next to Prince Philip, and that's not the mail that I've got. She's, as far as I know, she's been cremated in a 4-20 pie warmer. So it's gonna take some time, people, but she's going to be at the perfect temperature in about 4 hours. So it's going to be a great funeral. You definitely tune in and you'll see the touches that, you know, we put on it. I think it's going to be a nice night.
I actually can't imagine.
Very touching.
I mean, the funeral's only about 4 hours away. I can't imagine, like, you have the time to come and do the podcast while, you know, you're under the pump like this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been planning this for years, Michael. You know, I just jot little things down as they come along. And I'm like, I hope I never get to this date. It's very sad that we have reached it. But you got to plan ahead. And that's what we do at this show. We plan ahead.
Actually makes me think that I said at the top of the show, you were in Wayne Jackson Studios. I probably imagine you're in London at our former Ian Aitken Studios.
Yes, I've been there quite a bit as I liaise with the royal family. It's been nice over here in London, but yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back in Australia for the Junk Time live show on Sunday afternoon, of course.
Are you going to watch it?
Probably not. Monday night is, you know, fucking footy wrap-up night. So unless on the couch, kind of do an analysis and go to the lab and tell me how the funeral is going to play out, then perhaps I will get to see part of it. But no, I don't think I'll even check it out for a second before I go to bed.
I think it's on 9 p.m. I think I'll watch it. I might have a little nap before it, but I think I'll have a tune in. Bit of it. It's a
how long
part
do you reckon it will go for?
Yeah, it'll go forever. Yeah. Because it's not only like they kind of had the arrivals, so the red carpet essentially.
Yeah.
So like they go up to Joe Biden and go, "Who are you wearing?" Yeah. And then they then have the ceremony, which will take a while. But then they have to get the coffin into the back of the car and then take it to Windsor Castle, which I think I read before will take about 2 hours. It's like a 32K drive, but they're going to kind of go all different routes so that lots of people can see her. You know what I mean?
Check her out. See the coffin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the other day, I think it was in Hyde Park maybe, they had like a 96 cannon salute.
Oh,
imagine
really?
Imagine being a bird in London at the moment or a dog. You're just like fucking going, oh, fucking again. What is going on here? I'm fucking losing my mind. You know, like when you're in Bali at New Year's and there's just firecrackers from about midday.
Oh, going everywhere, yeah.
Dogs are going fucking berserk.
Yeah. I'd be curious, actually. I wonder if my brother's going to go and have a look. Anyway, that's by the by.
Hey, we got a live show.
We have a live show, our traditional post-grand final live show on Sunday, coming up 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Going to be awesome. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. It's our traditional Junk Time, Two Guys, One Cup crossover edition. Charlie Clawson will be with us. Will Anderson won't be there in person. He'll be there in hologram. He will be calling in just by the fact he has to be in a bit of a COVID bubble for a TV show coming up, and so we can't afford to get ill or even just get the bug. But head on down, 4 p.m., European Beer Cafe. It's going to be massive. They're always awesome shows. And we're going to have guests who support both of the teams competing in the grand final. The Sydney Swans and the Geelong Cats. It's going to be incredible.
What's your early tip? What are you thinking? Are you leaning towards Geelong? Are you leaning towards the Swans? Because Geelong, you know, they had the easier prelim and they beat Brisbane by 12 goals and just kind of... Brisbane just looked awful.
Yeah, it was not much of a competition on Friday night, but Saturday, we'll get to that. But at this stage, you'd have to say that Geelong finished 2 games clear on top. As a Hawthorn fan, obviously, I don't want them to win, but I feel like they will, and I can wear it. I can wear it. It's not gonna bring me down, but I would probably prefer Swans, and also I think there's also a buddy thing in my heart where I go, like, if it is the final.
Do you reckon he'll retire if they win?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure, but I imagine it could just be like the little cherry on top and you kind of go, hey, you know, yeah. I've had my run. You know, why fish around for another kind of 1 year contract at another club if it's true that he's, you know, heading up to Queensland?
It's a good point you make, too. The cherry on top of a rough life where, you know, the highest paid player in the game who's kicked 1,000 goals and has the supermodel wife. It'd be nice of him to get a win. And I hear what you're saying.
I think for just something, they're just kind of these underdogs out there, and you just kind of hope
absolutely
that, you know, a little ray of sunshine would come into their life every now and then.
Yeah, because he's not getting offered a contract for next year at this point, and you just go, fuck, if just Buddy could just have this little win. So yeah, I get what you're saying. We're all in on the Swans just for the Buddy storyline of, you know, a guy who did really well could do even better is the way that we'd see that.
So he'd walk away with 3 flags in the end, 1,000 goals, probably a couple BNFs, probably 2 or 3 Colemans, a $10 million deal. Actually, nah, fuck that guy.
You want Geelong. That was a great game on Saturday. It was just one of those ones where, again, it's amazing with Collingwood, hey, you just basically, you never give up, do you? You're just like, yep, yeah, there might be 5 goals down, but, you know, they get one and then you're like, oh, yeah, Sydney need to kick one here, and they don't, and they get another and you're like, fucking hell. As soon as it gets to within 3 goals, you're like, here come the Pies.
Yeah, dude. Like, so we were both in Adelaide and we actually had quite the adventure. We went to a friend's birthday party. And we were lucky enough to go and see the Footbridge for the very first time, which was, I mean...
spiritual. People
might say that it's been a 6-year running joke, but to us it's not a joke. Like, it's an actual...
It never has been a joke.
Yeah, like, people think, like, we're just mucking around, having fun, you know, being funny guys, ha 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 ha. But no, like, this is genuinely serious to us. So when we got a chance to actually go and see the Footbridge in the flesh for the first time, it was actually, it was like going to Mecca. It was a truly emotional experience.
It was. And we recorded our podcast under the bridge like a couple of hobos because it was blowing a gale in Adelaide on the Saturday. And when, like, just before we got there, it fucking pissed down. Like, I called you. I'm like, dude, I'm just going to, and I'm smart in a storm. I'm like, dude, I'm just going to stand under a tree. Just wait for the lightning to blow it apart and me.
And I was at the other end of the bridge, and so I had actually ducked off the footbridge and then hid under like a little alcove. And so and I'm wearing a t-shirt. I got a bag that has about 20 kilos of stuff in it. So, look, it wasn't the most convenient way to record a podcast, but at a landmark.
But you sold that bag with the 20 kilos of stuff in it, and that means we can pay for the podcast for another year. So
yeah, it's
well
yeah.
worth it. Yeah. And but thank you to the junk timer out there who hit us up on the DMs and said he had Sandful grand final tickets for us to go if we were still there. But unfortunately, we had to leave yesterday afternoon.
Really? I didn't see that message. When was the Sandful grand final?
Yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, like probably 2 o'clock?
Yeah, do you reckon you could have gone?
I could have gone to that. I didn't see that message. I could have gone.
You know what? I assumed that you were on the same flight as us, but we don't live in the same state, so I never passed that message on. My apologies, live on air.
Yeah, wow. DM's like through Twitter or Instagram or?
I think it was through Instagram. Maybe it was direct to me. Maybe weren't involved. But I thought it came to our generic one. And this is just a little insight to the listeners of this is a conversation that really could happen off air.
Yeah, gotcha. No, I mean mainly by the fact that if I had the tickets, I could have scalped them out the front
scalped
and made
them,
a bit of
coin.
That's
a fair point.
So the prelim.
Did you watch the Brownlow? It was the first time that we've been able to do this podcast. We usually record, you know, Sunday or Monday, and the Brownlow's on the Monday. Of course, it got shifted because of the funeral. Did you check in last night?
I did fly in from Adelaide to Sydney last night. I got home, and I think I was about round 18 when I got to watch the coverage. And it's probably the best way to watch the Brownlow, actually, by the fact it was, you know, obviously very tight. And wasn't Gil McLachlan milking it for everything it was worth? Like, he was, like, come about round 20, oh, he was doing a lot of good pausing and a lot of theatrics. And then
how long did the last five, because I went to bed, I was cooked after such a big weekend, but how long did it take, do you reckon, for the last four rounds? Was that like half hour, 40 minutes? Like, did they really milk it?
Well, I mean, the final round, like, I mean, obviously it's pre-planned. Like, they know how to do the drama of it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, like, he ripped through, like, the first four games. And then it was just like, and also remember, like, this is the final time he's going to do it. So I think he was thinking, this is little Gilly's time to shine, right?
And he was having fun during the count. Like, even when the Richmond table erupted after Liam Baker got votes and he went, oh, that was pretty good, or something like that. Like, he was, you know, he's being very invested in the count.
And then people were being creative with their shots. Like, seemed to be a lot of people wearing sunglasses and stuff like that. Like,
that was the Footscray table, wasn't it? And I believe it may be just Aaron Norton bought the pair of sunnies, but then they moved them around. So they kind of went, oh, you've probably played well in this game. You pop them on and then you'll end up.
Gotcha.
I think it was the same. I could be wrong, but I think it was the same pair of sunnies.
And then from what I could see, there was a lot of kind of drinking if they got votes, which makes me think that next year the AFL will limit the amount of alcohol at the tables.
I mean, let them have some fun. They've just finished. The thing is, it would be such a boring night in the room. Like, most blokes would be there. And, you know, it's not even like a night out with your mates, because you see those footballers all the time. So it's not like you're catching up with someone you haven't seen. You're just there and you're fucking bored. And what else do you do when there's just endless alcohol coming your way? You have some fun with it.
Did you say that the Eagles got the least amount of votes in the AFL era?
Yeah, that's got to hurt.
It's like 15. Like, that's actually hard to do.
You know what would have been great, though, is, and I know they lost that game, but did any of those top-up players that were, like, part of the 15 COVID came into the team really late and didn't know any other teammates. How good would that be if you were never on an AFL list but you got a Brownlow vote? That would be a cool fucking story.
I'd actually totally forgotten about that story back in early days of the year where
round three or four,
kind of bring in top up players and Adam Simpson like didn't even know who they were.
Yeah. And they were introducing him. He was like introducing himself as he's handing them the jumpers. I doubt that, you know, one of them dominated enough, but they could have snuck in for one. But even the umpires would be like, actually, they probably wouldn't, because the umpires wouldn't have a fucking clue who they were.
That'd actually be a good question. They'd actually be like, number 15, instead of actually their name. Now, can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Mm.
The fact that your Carlton hero, Patrick Cripps, won the Brownlow after lawyers got him off being suspended late in the year. So can I just put forward the idea that now forever the Brownlow medal will be tainted by this absolutely disgraceful legalese that let him play?
Look, I hear what you're saying, and can I just respond with go fuck yourself, okay? Now, how good would it be? I can't remember which Brisbane player he knocked out, but how good would it be for him to be able to tell his kids and grandkids, if he can remember, that he was KO'd by the Brownlow medalist of that year and the guy didn't get suspended and that's how he won it? What a beautiful, lovely tale. Tell us granddad, tell us how that guy knocked you out and you basically didn't play again for the rest of the season because you were so concussed. Tell us about that.
You're like, I literally don't remember it. I don't remember it, grandkids. Like, stop asking me. Like, just go watch it on YouTube. Yeah.
What's your name? What are you blurry doing here? What do you mean I've got a daughter?
Dim the lights. But then Cripper actually had to make a rush for it because they moved the Brownlow forward because of the Queen's funeral. And he was actually in Santorini for his cousin's wedding. And it's kind of like a nice little quote here. He got in on Saturday night. Have you ever been to Santorini?
No. I've been to Corfu, but it was like during the winter and I was backpacking. And
lovely part of the world, Santorini. I went there on a European summer. Delightful place. But it's like a little nice little quote here from Cripper. He said, obviously with the Queen passing, it wasn't ideal. Obviously a sad loss. But I was just hoping to get it moved to Tuesday so I could get a few more days to get back. But it's just kind of funny, like, just kind of like that we turn to Patrick Cripps for his thoughts about the Queen's passing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we got around her and we moved on, and the boys have had a long and hard look at themselves and we moved on from the Queen.
It's actually sad because the Queen was actually meant to go on that footy trip to Santorini. So
she was spewing.
Actually, given the couple of flights that I did this week, I don't know if you found the same thing, but the footy trips were out in force. Did you find that at all?
Oh, you know what? I didn't. Probably because, firstly, I flew Qantas, so I don't imagine they're stumping up for that. But then I got bumped to Jetstar yesterday. So Qantas just cancelled my flight on Saturday night. I just got a text at like 10 o'clock and they're like, hey, your flight's no longer and you'll be on another one. We'll work it out. And it's just like, well, that's fucked. And then Qantas just put me on a Jetstar flight. So I just rock up and they're like, oh, yeah, this is the flight now. And so I'm going through and I'm waiting in line to board. And they said, anyone who hasn't had their bag, so you need to get like a special tag on your bag when you fly Jetstar to let them know that your two bags don't weigh more than 7 kilos or else it costs about $70 or so to be over the limit. And everyone's bag was weighing over that. Yeah. And when I went up to weigh mine, I was fucking ready to Karen my fucking ass. Because, because I paid for a Qantas ticket and then they bumped me to that. And then the guy was like, oh, this is over. And I was like, I was supposed to be on the Qantas flight. And he's like, oh, were you? Okay, no, don't worry about it. And just tagged him. And I was like, a lot of trouble, mate.
I actually, on the way back from Adelaide, I was checking in and the machine kept on wanting to give me the exit row. And I was like, sure. But I don't like the exit row because I'm like, I don't care about the extra leg room and I want to be able to kind of get into my bag and get stuff out of it and stuff. And so I went up to the lady there and I was like, can I change from the exit row? Because this is all it's been giving me. I was like, I'm tired, I'm wrecked, I'm beat, I'm hungover. And I was like, I just don't want to be a hero today. But I noticed a lot of footy trips.
I don't think I've ever heard of anyone knocking back the emergency exit row.
No, I don't care about it. I want to get access to my bag. But
When we were flying over, when I was flying over from Melbourne to Adelaide, and the guy was like, if you've got any hearing aid or glasses or contact lenses, you can't be in this aisle. I'm like, fucking contact lenses? Like,
really?
Yeah, like how hot's the flames that it's going to melt my contact lenses to my eyeballs? And if so, we're not getting off the plane anyway.
That is very strange. When I was at Sydney Airport, there was like, I reckon I saw about 3 footy trips going away. Mm-hmm. They're most likely rugby trips. And there was like dudes who had, they were kind of wearing like almost like one day cricket kind of custom shirts. With their nicknames on the back of it, and they were heading off to Cairns. When I landed in Adelaide, there was like a massive group, like absolutely massive group that got off and were heading towards like 3 buses that were going to take them somewhere. I did find it kind of funny, like
Barossa for some wine tasting.
Well, that's the thing. I was kind of funny. He's like, Adelaide isn't really like a destination footy clubs. And also, I don't think Barossa is really a destination place for
for your
clubs
footy
either.
Clubs, yeah. Maybe not.
So, I don't know. Maybe they were coming.
When we were at the pub watching the footy on Saturday afternoon at the Stag on East Terrace, there came through that bunch of Where's Wally's. Do you reckon they were Bucks Party or footy club?
Well, I think they were... Well, they actually were. I was about to say they are wearing Sydney colours, and I have seen people from supporting Sydney who have worn that top. But then actually, a lot of them were sitting out the front. So I'm going to say they were, and not really watching the game. So I'm going to say they were Bucks Party.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
Now,
just
before we go, we could have a new old coach back in the mix. James Hurd is a chance to take over at the Bombers. How fucking insane! A world do we live in?
Yeah, so they've kind of gone to ground a little bit about what they've what they're talking about with Essendon, because I actually haven't heard any other names being linked to the job. Now, if my memory serves, they have talked to him. I don't know if they've gone like to the full presentation or anything, but I would think it would be possibly one of the most foolish things a football club can do to get back the man who was in charge when they ended up having about 40 players suspended for a year, including himself. And the club is already a rabble, and they're going to step back in time to a man who's been out of football for approximately 6 years, and not including the Giants job where he fucking got the coffee. I think it would be the most ridiculous decision of all time if Essendon did that. And therefore, as a Hawthorn supporter, I completely applaud it.
Yeah, I'm right behind it as well. I think it's one of the best decisions they could ever make. And I think Jordan Lewis and Robert Walls owe it to the rest of the footballing world to give us this, because we need it. So I was talking to someone during the week, and I won't name them, but they were working closely with Hurdy and recently, and they said that he'd just been out of it a little bit too long. He was a little bit behind tactically and what went on within clubs now, and that's what, you know, his 6 years or 7 years away from it has actually cost him in that, because he just goes, things had moved on from that point, and he thought it would be quite an odd decision. He'd be surprised if they gave it to him, just because he said unless he has really good, you know, people around him, assistants, he said he's just a little bit behind the times, and that for that, therefore he'd be surprised if he got it.
Don't tantalize me like that, Adam. That means, like, I want him to get the job even more. If he's incapable of doing the job, that's even better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I hear you. We're all in. Team Herd.
Hey, before we head off, we've got Footballers in Real Life. But don't forget, a live show coming up on Sunday after the grand final. They're always a cracker. We're going to get the tickets at trybooking.com. You want a couple of Footballers in Real Life, Adam?
Hit me.
From Mr. Shieldlinger. Dear Junk Time, I have a football captain in real life for you. Yesterday, I was in Chadston Shopping Centre and wandered into the Puma store. That's right, I'm doing very well. When I soon spotted none other than St Kilda's captain, Jack Steele. I was about to approach him to say hello when my partner informed me that he would probably rather not to be pestered while going around about his clothes shopping. In the short time I took to consider this, Steele had gone to the back of the store, presumably to pretend to try on clothes and avoid an inquisitive Saints fan.
Oh, it'd be tough, wouldn't it, if you see your captain? You just want to go up and give a bit of a... Because I reckon, you know, footballers don't mind being recognised, do they? Like, and I wouldn't say Jack Steele is one of the most prominent sort of players that, you know, you see Jordan Ngoi, everyone knows Jordan Ngoi. But I reckon outside of maybe St Kilda supporters... Not everyone knows Jack Steele. I reckon he would have enjoyed it.
One of the things I hate in life is trying on clothes. I hate it. I don't like buy clothes very often, but it's like the kind of... If I could just walk into shops and like just take it off the shelf and leave, that would be my dream, but I just can't. I can't. Do you hate trying on clothes?
I pretty much know what I'm after, and so if it's quick, I just kind of go in, go, yep, that works, I'm out, done. You know, like I just buy the same three-quarter camo pants, camo pants every time. So, you know, it's just the same. It's just the same thing all the time. You know, I get the same monster hat on repeat. You know, I just go back into the monster cap store and just go the same one that I bought last time. You know, it fell off when I was dirt biking.
Before I forget, where are you going to watch the grand final? What are you going to do? Because actually, I mean, this is the first grand final in 2 years that, you know, hasn't been a COVID lockdown that we actually can hang out with people and actually watch it with others.
I'll just be watching at home with my mates like I used to do. So that's kind of a tradition that we have, to come to my place and hang out and have a few fucking frothies.
Yep, sure.
And watch the footy.
I'm going to hang out with a few mates. 100,000 of them.
Yep.
And before we got one more football in real life, your tip?
I think Geelong by about 3 goals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same.
But I'm going for the Swans. I'm going for the Swans, but I think Geelong can do it.
Yeah, I want a buddy dream, yeah. But okay, final. From Mitchell, two footballers in real life. We'll get to this, okay, that's the point, right? Two footballers in real life, one current and usable, and one from the archives he probably can't use, but might enjoy anyway. Pretty sure I spotted Steve Coniglio in the Sydney Virgin Lounge, hopefully not hating the presence of plenty of happy Swans fans the morning after their prelim win too much. And then Mitchell also sent us one. Yeah, so that would have been
Sunday morning.
Yeah. And then there was another...
I haven't seen this redacted one.
Oh, there's... Okay, you have a look at our email, because we are junktimeinfopod@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook and the gram. There's a redacted one, and it's beautiful. And we really can't say it, but I just want to say Junk Time is out there. Like, it's wonderful and delightful and beautiful.
Okay, I'll have a read of it, but is there a chance that we could read it out to the room on Sunday, which will be cut out of the actual podcast?
Yeah. I mean, Mitchell, if you're listening, right. I mean, actually, we don't know who Mitchell is. Like, anyone can be called Mitchell. Yeah, I think we could, actually. I feel we could.
Okay, I'll have a look at it.
Yeah. Let's have a think about that.
So get there on Sunday. Tickets at tribal.com.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, come in on Saturday if you want to get that info. Yeah. We are going to hit the road. As I said, we are Junk Time Alpha Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawks.
Go the Queen.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.